Hey everyone, my name is Harneet. I'm a program manager on the developer platform team. Today, I'm going to talk about new capabilities that we've added to the Windows UI platform for Creators Update and how we can use these features and capabilities to create beautiful and engaging experiences. Our vision for Windows Redstone Wave was to make beautiful and engaging experiences possible on the Windows platform simply and by default. With the anniversary update, we introduced the visual layer, which allowed XAML developers to drop down from the XAML layer to the visual layer and access the powerful effects and animation systems that we built in the visual layer. These powerful effects and animation system enable you to then create beautiful and engaging experiences. Now with Creators Update, we are not only enabling new innovative experiences that lets you express your creativity, but we are also going to make it simple for developers to go and access the power of the visual layer and create the beautiful UI. With Creators Update, we've made sure that the visual layer is more deeply integrated with the XAML layer, which allows you to simply create and access all the effects and animation system from the visual layer directly in XAML layer. We've also added a lot of new features to the input layer, making it really simple for you to add inking and dial support to your applications with few lines of code. For the purpose of this talk, we're going to reuse the demo that Kevin built during the keynote, which was the Photos app, and we're going to try and make some modifications to the Photos app to see how you can access the power of the visual layer and easily add more input capabilities to that application. We're going to now look at we're going to quickly look at the demo app so that you can take a look at what the app looks like. As you can see, we've made certain minor modifications to the application. I'm not going to talk a lot about all the things that we're going to do yet. We're going to walk through the code one step at a time as we modify this application with newer capabilities. Let's go back to the slide deck. So when I talk about visual animation and effects, let's talk about new capabilities that we've added to the XAML platform as well as to the visual platform. SVG support. One of the most common features that we've been requested from our XAML developers is support for SVG. Today, in anniversary update, when you have to create icons and assets, you have to go and create different PNGs and bitmaps for each DPI. Now, with Creators Update, we are adding support for SVG directly in XAML, so you can design your assets once and just include them in XAML for that will just work for all the different DPIs. Excuse me. In addition to the SVG support, we've also added support for keytips, strike through text, as well as ability to include icons in the menu directly in the XAML layer. Let's quickly go and take a look at the demo on how we can go and create, add SVGs to the XAML directly. I'm going to close this app for a quick second. This is the image editing page, and as you can see in the image editing page, I've added a few lines of code that are commented out, which is trying to add an asset to the SVG, to the application. If I go towards the end, you will see the extension of the asset is actually .svg. You no longer have to just specify PNGs or BMPs when it comes to loading an asset in XAML. You can directly pass it an SVG file, and XAML will make sure that it's rendered crisply at the right DPI. Let's go ahead and uncomment this line. And now when I run the application, you will see that the asset that I just added is rendered natively at the native DPI. What's actually going on behind the scene is when XAML image control comes across as an SVG asset, it actually calculates the size of the SVG asset on screen and then renders it to the size of the screen. So if I go to the details page now, where I just added an asset, you can see below contrast, I've just added a new SVG asset and it's just rendered natively without any work from the developer. In fact, this asset was created yesterday using Adobe Illustrator. All we did was took the asset out from Adobe Illustrator and directly included it into XAML without any work. Can we go back to the slides, please? Sorry. Let's talk about animations and transitions. In the developer platform team, we believe both animations and transitions are a very important pillar for creating seamless and beautiful experiences. Excuse me. With Creators Update, we are adding two new capabilities to the animation system that should make it really easy for you to create coordinated and orchestrated experiences. Connected animations, which were first introduced in the anniversary update, lets you animate a visual from the source page to a destination page during a transition. With Creators Update, we've added a lot of new features to connected animation that makes it easier to use than ever before. With Creators Update, you can now easily do connected animation from a grid or a list. You can also define a custom animation. You can coordinate animations between elements from source page to the destination page, and you have much better support for image size interpolation. So when you are animating content between two pages which are not of the same size or same aspect ratio, they seamlessly crossfade between each other. In addition to connected animations, we've also added support for implicit show hide animations. Kevin showed some of the demos for implicit show hide animations during the keynote. The basic idea between implicit show hide animations are, these are the animations that get automatically executed as soon as an element is about to be visible on screen or it's about to go off screen. This can really help you create very good and seamless transitions as an element is about to become visible or is about to be hidden from the screen. Now let's go back to the app demo app, and then let's talk about how we can improve the animations in this application through the use of connected animation and show hide animation. So if I go back right now and I open this application, you see the transition between those pages was very abrupt. In one frame, you're seeing the previous page, and on the second frame, you just see the new frame. And the users completely use context as they're moving from the source page to the destination page. Let's see how we can add connected animation and show hide animation to create an experience that is much more smooth and seamless. Going back to Visual Studio, I'm going to go and try. Sorry. Going back to Visual Studio, let's go and set up connected animation. Basically, in order to set up connected animation, there are two steps. You need to identify the source, which is where the connected animation will start, and you need to identify the destination, which is where the connected animation ends. And then the connected animation service will seamlessly animate from the source to the destination page. Now, in my case, since I'm starting the animation in response to the user's click, I'm going to go into the click handler for each element and set up connected animation to identify the source. Setting up connected animation is just a few lines of code. Basically, the first line here identifies and gets the connected animation service for the current view. We are then changing the default duration of the connected animation to be 400 milliseconds. This aligns well with the application that I'm building. And then I'm going to try and set up the connected animation by calling the prepare connected animation method on the grid view collection. The prepare connected animation method actually takes three parameters. The first parameter basically identifies the ID for the animation. This will come in handy when we are trying to identify the destination element for this connected animation. The second element basically identifies the control that is the source of the connected animation. And the third element is the UI element name that will actually animate from the source to the destination page. The next step is to then identify the destination of the connected animation. In my case, the destination is the canvas control that actually lives in the edit page of the item. So when I click on the source, it goes to the edit page, and the image has to land where the canvas control is. In order to do that, all I have to do is, again, similar to what I did with identifying the source, I identify the destination by, first of all, getting the current connected animation service. The next thing I need to do is find the animation that I'm trying to connect this destination to. I use the key to identify the animation in the source, which was image, so I'm going to use the same thing. And then I'm just going to say, let's start the connected animation to the canvas control. Now, what this will do is this will animate the image when you click on it from the source page to the destination page. But wouldn't it be nice if you can also animate the controls in a coordinated fashion on the destination page? So things like contrast and saturation, those controls animate smoothly in from the bottom, so it looks like all of those animations are coordinated together. In order to do that, all I have to do is set up show animations for those controls, And when those elements are first about to be visible on screen, they will automatically animate using the animation that I've set up. In order to do that, I'm just going to go down. And in the setup, if you see here, what I've done is I've defined a basic offset animation that animates the Y offset of any control. And then I'm using the set implicit show animation method to connect these offset animations to each of the controls that I added on the page. With these four or five simple lines, what I've done now is I've not only created a connected animation from the source to the destination page, but I'm also able to coordinate other animations that are happening on the destination page with connected animation. Let's run the application and see what happens. As the application is compiling, it's important to note that with Creator's update, we also support the ability to animate object from the destination page back to the source page, which was the control grid in this case. So if I connect now, as you see, there is a much smoother transition that is happening between the source and destination. Let's go back and try it one more time. If you see carefully, what's happening there is the source element or the image is actually animating from the source page and it's landing on the destination page with a crossfade. And if you pay particularly close attention to the controls at the bottom, you will see that at the end of the connected animation, these controls start animating up, so it looks like all of these things are coordinated well together. Can we get back to the slides, please? So that was all about animations and transitions. The other area of focus that we've had with Creator's update is making it really, really easy for our XAML developers to use effects and lighting. With Anniversary update, we added effects and lighting to the composition layer or to the visual layer that allows you to access these powerful effects and animation system. However, these effects and animation system in Anniversary update required you to go drop down to the visual layer and create composition visuals. What that meant at the end of the day was you'll now have to manage your UI both in the XAML UI elements as well as for composition visuals, which made it really difficult for our developers to create these experiences because they now had to manage two different UI element trees. With Creator's update, we've basically gone in and modified the core underpinnings of the XAML framework to make it really easy for you to now apply composition effects and composition lighting directly to XAML elements using XAML without requiring you to drop down to the visual layer. Let's take a look at the quick demo of how this actually works. Going back to the details page, if you see carefully all the controls at the bottom, and I'm not sure how easy it is to see, they're actually all have a blur that is applied behind them. If I had to do the same thing in Anniversary update, what I'll have to go do is create a new composition visual, position it between the ellipse and the text, and then apply a composition brush that applies a blur effect to that specific visual. Now with Creator's update, I don't have to do any of that. Oops. Looking at the code quickly. Now with Creator's update, for me to apply that same effect in Creator's update, all I had to do was go ahead and define a new brush type. In this case, it's called the XAML composition backdrop brush, and I've applied that directly to the fill property of the ellipse. Now, once you've defined these brushes, you can use these brushes interchangeably with XAML brushes, and you can use them to paint any UI element. In order to prove these are just any other XAML brush, what I can do here, even if I wanted to, was change and use the power of XAML's edit and continue feature and change this brush to be another composition brush that actually not only applies a blur, but actually animates the blur radius as it's being done. So I'm just going to quickly change this to a different brush that I've also implemented. And I don't know if you can see at the right now, the blur radius is actually changing over 5 seconds over a period of time. So once you've defined your set of composition brushes that you would like to use in your application, you can now hand that over to your designers and they can create your application completely in XAML markup without requiring any code changes. I particularly don't like animating it, so I'm just going to try and see if I can put this back. Now, in addition to effects, the other big area that we've invested on and tried to make it easier for our developers to use is lighting. Lighting, just like composition brushes, required you to drop down to the visual layer with anniversary update. Now, with Creators Update, we've exposed all of those capabilities directly to XAML layer as well. So if you pay close attention to this application, what we have here right now is, as I move my mouse, you will see there's a light that follows the mouse to get focus on the element that's hovered on. It's pretty subtle, but you'll see there's a light that is actually moving with my mouse as I move around. We've implemented all of this just in XAML as well. We've defined new lights that are defined as, we've defined new XAML lights that basically create composition lights, and then you can apply those XAML lights directly to markup. Going back to code. So basically, this is a grid view item list. This is the grid view item list that we used. This is the grid view item that was used to host each image. And if you look at the template, what we've done is we've defined a new template for each of the item container. And in the template, there are a few new lines that we've added that actually use Spotlight. So if you look at the content, presented here on the content, there are two types of light that we've added. There's an ambient light and there's a spotlight. For ambient light, we always target all the elements that are under that grid view item. So all of them are lit by default. And then we have this spotlight that actually is connected to your mouse position. And as you move your mouse and hover over different elements, the spotlight either targets the elements that are hovered over or they just disappear. And that creates this really nice effect. Again, if you pay very careful attention, is the item that's hovered over is actually lit while everything else becomes a little bit darker. And that creates the sense of context and gives you a reason to understand where the user's focus is. Can we get back to the slides, please? Of course, all of that was about new capabilities that we've added or exposed on the XAML layer. In addition to adding capabilities to the XAML layer, we've continued to make more and further investment in the visual layer. With Creators Update, you can now use relative layout with the visual layer directly. We've also made expression authoring easier than ever before with support for our expression authoring improvements. We've also added implicit animation supports for shadows and property sets. And we made more investment into our effect system. We now support a new type of brush called the host backdrop brush. This is a special type of brush that lets you get blurred content from behind your window. This can be used to create unique experiences where you're trying to get users' focus based on the content that is behind users' window. We also have a border effect. This can be used to tile images. Using the border effect along with image loading service, for example, you can create a tile brush in XAML UWP that can replicate the tile brush behavior from WPF. In fact, we have the community toolkit that is coming out pretty soon that will have a default implementation of tile brush that you can use to replicate the behavior that we were missing from the UWP XAML toolkit. In addition to visual updates, we've also made lots of investment in the input and interaction side. Kevin already showed a lot of cool demos where he used Pen and Dial to create a collage and create an experience for how Pen and Dial can be used to create an awesome experience in the keynote demo. What I'm going to talk about is additional capabilities that we've added to make using Pen and Dial easy with XAML applications. Let's start with Windows Ink. As you all know, we introduced the Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar with the anniversary update that made it really easy for you to add inking support in your application by writing just two lines of XAML code. What we've done with Creators Update is we've made those Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar even more powerful. We have a new protractor stencil that can be used to draw not only circles, but it can also be used to draw arcs as well. We also have stroke preview that can be used to preview what your stroke will look like before you actually use the pen to draw it. We've integrated the pencil directly into Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar. We're going to introduce a new type of pencil called tilt pencil that will be supported starting with Creators Update. We've also added some high contrast support for Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar for, by default. So for users who are in high contrast mode, they will see the ink rendered with the right high contrast ratio when the Ink Canvas or the Ink Toolbar is being used. We've also integrated the dial directly with the Ink Toolbar, so you no longer have to figure out how to connect dial to the Ink Toolbar. All you have to do is drop the ink, All you have to do is drop the new Ink Toolbar in your application, and by default, you get dial integration. Let's do a quick demo of that. So in the collage page, as you see here, this is what Kevin used earlier in the morning to create a collection of collage images. And then through ink recognition, he can identify these as shapes, and then those will automatically be filled by images from the gallery. What if you wanted our users to not only draw rectangles, but also be able to draw accurate circles and create a collage of circular images and not just rectangular images? Let's see how you would do that. Going back to XAML, going back to the code, I'm going to quickly open the collage.xaml app, XAML page. And if you see here, I have this one line of code that is commented out that basically can be used to add the Ink Toolbar. So we've already added Ink Canvas, which is what is used for canvas, which is what is used for inking. What we are adding here is an Ink Toolbar, which will actually give you access to all the new capabilities that we've added to the Ink Toolbar. So if I uncomment the code and just run the application, you will see that when we go back to the collage page now, you will have a new Ink Toolbar that is also visible along with the Ink Canvas. If you see the collage now, you actually, if you see here, there is an Ink Toolbar that was added by just that one line of code. With the Ink Toolbar, as you've seen, as we mentioned earlier, what you can do is you can draw a straight line, which was added to the anniversary update. But with Creators Update, you can also now actually use a protractor that can be used to draw arcs and circles. And of course, the protractor is completely configured by dial, so you can resize the size of the protractor just by using the dial. We already talked a little bit about Smart Ink Recognition, where Kevin showed how Smart Ink can be used to recognize shapes. In addition to shapes, Smart Ink is also able to recognize texts and numbers. We also have new interactions with dial. With the radial control API that we added for dial, you can actually now specify custom interactions using press and rotate. You can also have fairly high level of control over haptic feedback and input delivery. In addition to ink and dial, we've also made investment with mouse and touch interactions. Now with independent pointer hover animations, you can go ahead and animate any XAML UI element in response to the hover position of the mouse, completely independent of the UI thread. So while the UI thread could be busy processing networking message or some other kind of messages, your animations that are tied to your mouse hover don't glitch at all. This is what was used to actually animate the light in the demo that we showed. So even if the UI thread is busy doing something, the user always have the context of where the focus is because the light is completely independent of the UI thread. We've also made some more improvements to the interaction tracker that can be used to animate XAML UI elements in response to touch, again, completely independent of the UI thread. So I hope we did enough work in Creators Update to make it really simple for you to create beautiful and engaging UI on Windows. So what's next? Our goal in the future is to make beautiful UI on Windows default. We just want the UI, all the UI in Windows to be beautiful by default with minimal work from the developers. Here are some of the things we're going to go do or doing to make that a reality. We started that work with Creators Update, where we added conscious scroll bar, and we added smooth window resize that by default creates a very seamless and smooth experience. If you go back to the demo app, as you can see here, I have a scroll bar that's kind of visible on the side. With Creators Update, whenever I create any item with a scroll bar, if you see on the right, there's a scroll bar that actually goes and will modify itself based on user's intention. So if the user is far away from the scroll bar or the mouse is no longer moving, the scroll bar actually hides itself. And I'm sorry, this doesn't show well in the demo. You can really see on my machine. But the scroll bar, when the mouse is away, is completely hidden because the user is not interacting with the application and the scroll bar. But as I start moving the mouse, the scroll bar appears. And if you focus on the right edge, you may be able to see it. As I move the mouse, the scroll bar appears because the user has an intention of doing something with the mouse. And as I move the scroll bar, as I move the mouse closer to the scroll bar, you will see the scroll bar change from an indicator to a full scroll bar because the user has shown the intention of now changing and using the scroll bar to scroll the application. The other big area of where we made a lot of improvements with Creators Update is window resize. In Anniversary Update, if you resize a modern app, there was often accent color shown because the application was unable to keep up with the resize logic. With Creators Update, we've changed that so that you never see, so you never see the accent color show up and the application just resizes smoothly. We've enabled this both for UWP apps as well as Win32 apps. Can we go back to the slides, please? So what's next? One of the areas that we are really thinking about very strongly is the concept of semantic animations. You saw me add implicit animations and connected animations using a lot of code. In the future, we want to really make all of these concepts semantic and directly accessible on the XAML framework, or I'm sorry, the XAML markup, rather than you having to write code in order to enable these experiences. We're also looking at ability to apply effects, not just to XAML UI elements, but also to XAML controls directly. So in my case, if you wanted to apply a grayscale animation to the whole grid, we should make that really easy and simple to do. We're also looking at investing heavily in new controls so that creating a beautiful experience on Windows is as easy as just going in and dropping a new control rather than you having to build anything out from scratch. We are about to add a lot of new documentation. We are about to update our documentation and samples for all the features that we showed today. We're definitely going to make an announcement about it at our Twitter handle. Look forward to it. We're hoping to just deliver that out today. We also have a GitHub where we publish all our samples and all our discussions, and we are open to having discussions at our GitHub. We also have an email account where you can reach us if you have any questions about the UI platform. That's all I have for today. If you have any questions, as I said, just feel free to hit us, either email us or hit us at the GitHub. Thank you.